Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
In a call at 3:15 a.m. to his 78-year-old former campaign manager, a Tory MP claimed he had been detained by bad people and needed £5,000 urgently as a matter of life and death. Well, that was the start of an extraordinary chain of events which has led to the suspension of the latest Conservative MP, Mark Menzies, after campaign donations were used to repay staff who covered that money he sought from their own bank account. For more on this, I'm joined by the Whitehall editor at the Financial Times, Lucy Fisher. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning.
Well, we need to connect the dots now between that phone call at 3:15 in the morning last December and today's suspension. So can you take us through it?
I can. So if we step back a moment, the central allegation here is that Mark Menzies, a Tory MP since 2010 and the Prime Minister's trade envoy for a group of nations in South America, has been accused of misusing Tory campaign funds, money donated by local supporters in his Lancashire constituency of Field, on a number of things. Part of the allegations span the claim that he borrowed total, or used rather, £14,000 of this campaign money for private medical expenses for himself. And then there's also a string of rather, frankly, outlandish claims about personal expenses he also sought money for, including, as you say, the claim that last December at 3:15 a.m. in the morning, he called a long-standing aide, a 78-year-old lady, and said that he was being held captive by bad men and needed £5,000 because it was a matter of life and death. And then in the morning, a different aide decided to help him, cashed out her own ISA to pay the funds, and was later reimbursed again from Tory campaign funds.
And the sum, when they got to the morning, had increased from £5,000 to £6,500.
Well, that's right. I mean, the claims made in the Times report suggest that sources close to Mr. Menzies said that what had happened was he had been on an online dating website. He had visited the flat of a man that he had met on that website. He had then travelled on to the abode of a second man where he had consumed alcohol and been sick. And it was at that point that the people he was with demanded he gave them £5,000 for what were cleaning and other expenses. As you say, a sum that by the morning had increased to £6,500. Mm-hmm. But look, this should also be stressed that, you know, a lot of the claims made in the Times are from unnamed sources. Mr. Menzies has disputed the allegations against him and says that they are wrong, but he can't say more at the moment because he is, of course, now under investigation by the Conservative Party.
Yeah, there's another allegation in that report in the Times that the Conservative Party was made aware of all of this in January. That's extraordinary.
It is indeed, and the Liberal Democrats have unsurprisingly leapt on that claim and said it's frankly appalling that it has needed for this to be aired in a national newspaper for the Conservative Party to take action and to finally remove the Conservative whip from him and to properly investigate these allegations. So I think there's more that needs to be understood about the process of how these complaints were made and why this wasn't taken up sooner.
Now, I see Sky News reporting that Mark Menzies is no longer a trade envoy, so perhaps that process is moving along as we speak. So we're only a week on, Lucy, from the honey trap scandal. We were talking about that on the programme as well, involving William Ragg. I mean, we've had the tractor porn MP, we've had the drunken assault case that eventually brought down Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson himself leaving Parliament to avoid censure over those COVID parties. At this stage, do voters care about these scandals? Are they almost baked in when it comes to the Tories?
It's a really good question. I think there will be a lot of eye rolling this morning from voters seeing this story after the slew of scandals that you mentioned. And indeed, in fact, in a neighbouring seat to Mark Menzies, there's a by-election coming up on May the 2nd because another Tory MP was caught in a journalistic sting offering to do paid lobbying work against the rules. So he had the whip stripped from him and is now resigned and a by-election is taking place. So it really has felt like one scandal after the other. The Tories have lost 10 by-elections since 2019. And I think there is this sense, this narrative that's taken hold in Westminster of a sense of decay, fin de siècle decadence, now that the Tories are so far behind in the polls, and it looks likely that they're headed for a spell in opposition.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know that Labour is doing very well in those same polls, but on this, they may feel on uncertain ground because we have this police investigation ongoing into their deputy leader, Angela Rayner. How serious could that be for the party?
It could be really serious because Keir Starmer has made raising standards in public life a key pillar of his offer to the public. You know, he has seized on the many scandals that have beset the Conservatives and vowed that under him, you know, the government would be whiter than white. He would, introduce a new ethics regime to make sure that this kind of thing didn't happen. So if it were the case that the police were to find his deputy leader, the woman who, it could be deputy prime minister in a few months' time, is found to have committed either an electoral offence or a tax offence, I think that would be a really big problem for him.
And she has said very clearly that if that happens, she will resign, hasn't she?
She has indeed. She denies that she's done anything wrong. The party has said, you know, it welcomes the police investigation in order to try and draw a line under these allegations. And indeed, many of her allies have accused the Tories of leaping on her because she's a northern woman. They say this is motivated in part by snobbery against Angela Rayner and trying to kind of whip up a feeling of popular sentiment against her, and also as a sort of smear campaign to detract from their failings ahead of the local and mayoral elections taking place on May the 2nd. So recriminations have certainly been hurled in both directions on this one.
And Lucy, this, I mean, you mentioned, you know, how large the group of independent MPs is now. I mean, is there any question here that this might change the face of politics in any way in the lead up to this election, that you have a group now in Parliament, which is the fourth largest grouping in Westminster and bigger than the number of Liberal Democrats? Could there be any lasting impact of that?
Well, look, I think given the circumstances in which many people among that group have found themselves turfed out of their party and becoming an independent, you know, it's quite an odds and sods rabble that I don't think, you know, there would be any suggestion that they will be organising. I think generally speaking, you know, there's a lot of concern and complaints among Tory MPs that there's very little legislation actually going through Parliament at the moment. You know, the claim has been made that it's a zombie government. So in that sense, I think the government, you know, is not losing as many votes as potentially it could, given the number of MPs it's lost.
Mm-hmm. And that's perhaps one of the reasons why there was no whip when it came to the smoking ban legislation that Rishi Sunak had pioneered, but he allowed his Tory MPs a free vote.
Well, that's true. On the other hand, you know, what Number 10 insiders say is they point to the vote in the mid-2000s, when Labour first brought in the smoking ban. That too was a free vote, and many prominent Labour front benchers indeed voted against it. John Prescott, then the Deputy Prime Minister, John Reid, Tessa Jowell. So there has been a history and precedent for these kinds of votes being free. But as you say, it's awkward for Rishi Sunak that so many of his MPs voted against it, given that he has shaped this as one of his legacy defining pieces of legislation.
Mm-hmm. I see Labour are calling now for a police investigation into allegations of an MP misusing campaign funds, and a very careful answer coming from Penny Mordaunt on that, saying that they are serious matters. Some of them are under police investigation, and that Labour wouldn't expect me to comment on that. So this one is likely to run. I mean, can Rishi Sunak do anything to halt the damage at this stage, Lucy?
Well, that is the question that's being asked with an increasing tone of despair by many of his MPs who, you know, fear being ousted at the general election. I think the trend over, you know, the past year and more has just been the stubbornness of the polls. He's trying to pull every lever available to him, reshuffle a reset on net zero green policies, eye-catching legislation like the smoking ban. He's had two major tax cuts, 4 pence off national insurance, a cut to corporation tax, and nothing has moved the dial. So I think there is a growing degree of concern among his own front and back benches that the public have, since the October 2022 disastrous mini-budget of Liz Truss, frankly turned their face against the Conservatives And it's very difficult to see now how Rishi Sunak and the Tories stay in power after the general election.
Lucy, thank you for being with us this morning. Lucy Fisher, Whitehall editor with the Financial Times. We'll be speaking to Fergal Keane next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.